Yes, Lord, we give ourselves for this fight. We would put on this, take up this whole armor all the time. Yes, we want to cast out the enemy, and your kingdom would come on this earth. We pray, Lord, anoint your speaking this evening. We want to have ears that hear. Speak anew to us this evening. Lord, we want to hear your speaking. Lord, equip us for the battle. Yes, and make room in our heart. Lord, we pray that this word would be effective in all of us, that each day, through the anointing and your Spirit in us, that we would be able to fulfill your purpose. We pray for all the saints that we would be able to go on with you together. Lead us. You are the captain of our salvation. And lead us all the way to the goal. Like Paul, we want to say that we have not yet attained, but we want to pursue. Yes, Lord, strengthen also our inner man and work in our heart. We give you our heart tonight. Enlighten us. Lead us on. Amen. Sorry, I have a bit of a tickle in my throat. Praise the Lord. I really enjoyed the word in all these parables. The Lord really spoke to us. That's why I would like to see the brothers continue to speak about it. But I want to come back. I want to come back in particular to this point, this matter of the heart. We talk so much about the heart. Sometimes we're not so clear about what this actually means. What does the scripture mean when it talks about the heart of man? I have a few verses here that I wrote down this afternoon. And I'd like to start with this first point with regard to our heart, which is our conscience. The conscience is very important. It's a very important part of our heart. It is a part of our heart, which the Bible says, for example, in Romans 9:1, that our conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit. And as we often heard, the conscience is actually a part of our spirit, but it is connected with our heart. The conscience is very, very important, because if our conscience is no longer functioning or is not healthy, then we have a problem. And here we see, let's read what Paul wrote. Let's read the verses in Acts 23, verse 1. If someone could read that aloud. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. A healthy heart must contain a pure conscience. So really, watch out and guard your conscience, because if your conscience is no longer right, you are capable of doing many things, all kinds of things, without any sense in your heart that they are wrong. And then you do so many things without any sense, and you might even think, yeah, I'm right. But the conscience in our heart was granted to us for our protection. If someone no longer has a working conscience, he is actually worse than an animal and capable of anything. Paul says, he actually says he exercises himself. Yeah. To walk before God in all good conscience before God until this day. This is really wonderful, because it means that it was not just once in a while, but it was until this day. He became an apostle who paid so much attention to his conscience. And in chapter 24, verse 16, in the very next chapter, he says, if someone could read that in German, this being so, that I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Yeah, so in the prior verse it says he had a conscience before God, and now it also talks about before men. So it's not just toward God, but also toward men. So it's very important not to underestimate the importance of having a good conscience if we want to go on. And if we want the Word of God to grow in us in a normal way, and we want to be this good ground. Yeah, we have to have a good conscience for this, and we have to strive to have a conscience without offense first before God and also toward men. This is the most important part of the heart. And Paul also said that this conscience preserves him. Surely it preserves him. And now let's read another verse in Hebrews 10:20. We all want to enter into the holiest place. That is wonderful, and it is good, and it's nice. But how do we enter in? Hebrews 10:20. By a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh. Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So with a true heart, we have to draw near. Yeah, it is important that to draw near, we have to come with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. So this is an important way that is described here. It is not just to take the blood and then just walk right into the holiest place without any further ado. But here it says we also have to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Whoever wants to come to God really has to be cleansed through the precious blood of the Lord, so that we would have a pure conscience. It is important. I think many saints can testify this. The conscience is very important to have a sensitive conscience before God. That's what our conscience is for. If I do something that is not right, then my conscience reacts. Then I get the red light or an alarm. If something is not right or an enemy thief comes in, then there is an alarm. So the conscience shows you something is not right. This is not right. Stop. And this is a preservation and a protection for all of us. If you want to go on in your spiritual life, you have to pay attention to your conscience and make sure it is functioning, that it is sensitive. Praise the Lord for this. Do not underestimate the importance of this. Lord, cleanse my conscience. And the conscience is also connected with the Holy Spirit to testify in us. And you all have all experienced this, surely have experienced this. You said something that you should not have said. As one of the sisters spoke about earlier, and she made jokes about something. But praise the Lord, the conscience, the heart reacted in her. That is very healthy. No one had to tell you, don't do this. But if we watch, pay attention to our heart, then the conscience will react in you and say, don't do this. And then we will also repent before the Lord. Lord, forgive me. If we have done it, then we have to repent. If we have not yet done that thing, and the conscience tells you, no, stop, then we have to turn to the Lord. The conscience is there also to testify. And Paul was able to say, my conscience testifies this. He had the testimony of a good conscience, and he was able to say this before God. The Lord is my witness. With his conscience, he was able to witness, to testify. Praise the Lord, because if we have such a conscience, then we also are able to have the boldness to say and execute what the Lord desires. So a good conscience is very, very important. It is the most important component of our heart. Praise the Lord for this. I have a hard time using this tablet, so sorry, it's taking me a little bit more time. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 1, 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Love from a pure heart and from a good conscience. A pure heart always must have a good conscience. These two go hand in hand. If you cannot have a pure heart and have a bad conscience. The bad conscience shows that my heart is not pure. So praise the Lord. This good conscience helps us to have a pure heart. And then we also see that the heart encompasses all the parts of our soul. It encompasses this love from a pure heart. So this ability to love our emotion, we often talk about love. And it's not so easy to love with a pure heart. Often we love, but not with a pure heart. We have some hidden agenda. We love God. No one would say, I don't love God. But what kind of love does God want to receive from us? A love from a pure heart without any other purpose or agenda. And it is not just outward love. It is a love that is sincere, without hypocrisy. For us, we might so quickly have a certain love, but it is only outward. Something is not right in our heart. So it says that the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, without hypocrisy. Unfortunately, our heart is not so pure. But I want to emphasize now that love is a part of the heart. And then we also see that our mind is a part of our heart. To have a healthy, sober mind, our mind has to be healthy. A pure heart must also have a healthy mind. It's not just love, but a mind that is healthy, a renewed mind. If I have a heart, but my mind is not so sober, not so healthy, then I always misunderstand you. I always see the other point of view. And I always take it wrong. And I always misunderstand people. And then you have dealings with one another in the church. And someone says something, and right away, I understand it, take it the wrong way. And then that generates a lot of problems, even among married couples. Often the wife says something and the husband, has such a reaction. Right away he takes it the wrong way. Oh, that's not what I meant. The wife says, that's not what I meant. And the husband says, but that's what I understood. And then right away you have problems. How often do we have problems like this among us because of really small things? Really, we make a mountain out of a molehill because we don't have this healthy mind, sober mind. Praise the Lord that He wants to show us that to have a pure heart requires also having a renewed mind. Lord, renew my mind. How often have you prayed, Lord, renew my mind? If we don't pray this way, then not only will we misunderstand man, but we will misunderstand the Word of God. If we already cannot properly understand what other people say to us, how much less will we be able to understand God's Word? That's why there are so many interpretations and explications of the Bible. I have my interpretation, you have your interpretation. And has anyone asked, Lord, what did you mean? And Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Would you not have a joy and a desire to say, as Paul said, Lord, give me your mind. Lord, give me your mind. I believe that anyone who wants to serve God has to have the mind of Christ. It is impossible otherwise to serve. And in that connection, Paul said that the natural man cannot receive anything from the Spirit of God. Often we say, yes, I receive it, I accept it. But what is the result? Nothing. Zero. That means I actually receive nothing. If I really accepted and received it into my heart, then it has to have an effect. If it doesn't have any effect, it means I didn't really receive it. We say yes and amen so quickly, but after the amen, it's over. So actually, amen to us means, okay, it's done, closing time, lights out. I'll go home. That's how it is with us. In our subconscious, amen means, okay, that's the end. But maybe amen is actually just the beginning. Because if you are in agreement and you say, yes, Lord, and let this now happen in me, so amen has to be the beginning that your prayer would work in you and be effective in you. So to have this healthy mind, and even to have the mind of Christ, is so important. Did Paul not say, this mind be in each of you that is also in Christ? I think that when the Lord was on this earth, he never misunderstood God. How often, when I look back in my own life, have I misunderstood God? But praise the Lord, we still have opportunity to pray and to tell the Lord, Lord, change my mind, renew my mind, remove all the dark thoughts. If I have any strange thoughts, I say, no, stop. My mind is not for these things. Lord, I consecrate my mind to you. I give you my mind. And this is also very important for our transformation. That's what Paul says in Romans 12. Be transformed through the renewing of your mind. So it is a part of our heart. Lord, renew my mind, my thinking. And in particular, we want to understand what the Spirit wants to speak to us. Often, it's not the case that the Spirit doesn't speak, but when the Spirit speaks, we don't understand it. So, what is there to do? If our mind is not sufficiently renewed to understand, to comprehend what the Spirit is saying, then we are like the Pentecostals. They speak in tongues, but we don't understand what is being spoken. That is not good. That's why Paul said, I want to pray in the Spirit. But I also want to pray with my mind. Because if I pray in the Spirit and do not also understand what the Spirit desires to accomplish or to speak, then that is fruitless for me. Praise the Lord. I am not just spirit. I am a human being with a mind. Unfortunately, it is a fallen mind. You have a good understanding and a good mind for physics and for math. But I tell you that for heavenly spiritual things, nobody has a naturally healthy mind. So we need a renewing. Because when it comes to spiritual things, everyone, all men, are in darkness. Yeah. Our mind is in darkness when it concerns these things. That is why Paul said we should not walk like the nations. Praise the Lord. So this part of our heart also must be cleansed, purified, renewed. Yeah, not just to be cleansed, but to also be renewed. And then Paul said, in Philippians chapter 4, how we ought to put on the new man. Do you want to put on the new man? Verse 22. Put off the old man. And then put on the new man. But what is between those two verses? In between it says you have to be renewed in your mind, in the spirit of your mind. If that does not happen, you will not be able to put off the old man, nor will you be able to put on the new man. It's impossible. We've known this teaching for many years. Oh, it's Ephesians 4:21. Many years we've heard this, but that old man is still stuck to us. It's still stuck to us like a garment that is too tight. You can't get it off. It fits so well. It's so form-fitting. But it's like a second skin. So you can't take it off. Then you have to remove your skin. That's not possible. So without the renewing of our mind through the Spirit, we cannot put off the old man, no matter how hard you try. It's impossible. But the more our spirit is renewed, the more we can put off the old man and put on the new man. And then there has to be a constant renewing. It is not just one time. You know, when I first used to read these verses, I didn't understand, if I already put on the new man, why do I continually need to be renewed? And we had fellowship over these verses. It says the new man that is always being renewed, constantly being renewed. I thought, well, if I already am the new man and put the new man on, why does it have to continue to be renewed, continually renewed? The problem is not with the new man. The problem is with me. The new man is Christ. He should be all and in all. But when I put him on, is he already all in all to you? No, you see, that is the problem. That is the problem. So the renewing of our mind has to take place continually, all the time, and always. It's a process that is going forward, a non-stop process, unceasingly, daily. Praise the Lord, this is so important. So that we might have a pure heart. And not only this, but there is also the will. Acts 11:23. When he came and had seen the grace of God, this is talking about Barnabas, who went as far as Antioch, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Do you continue or do you abide all the time with the Lord? Or are you more going in and out? In California, there's a burger chain called In-N-Out. It's kind of like McDonald's. It's called In-N-Out. And that's how we deal with Christ sometimes. We're in and we're out, and then we're in again. And you get in and you eat really fast, and then you get out really fast too. So we're always in and out. And we're probably more out than in. And I really have to say, that is how we all are. The Lord says, abide in me. And why are we always in and out? Because our heart is rebellious. We just don't want to. We don't want to abide. We don't want to be constant, steadfast. That has to do with our heart. Our heart is not steadfast. We don't stay in very long. We also don't want to go out entirely, so sometimes I'm not sure, do I want to be in or do I want to be out? And when I'm out, then I would rather be in, but once I'm in, I'd rather be out. We are so complicated, so unsteadfast. We're not steadfast. That is how our heart is. And so it's not so simple. Our heart is not so simple to deal with because it is fallen. It's steadfast. And in Jeremiah it says, we have such a heart that is cannot be healed. There is no physician that can heal our heart except for one. There is only one who examines our heart. Maybe someone could read this out loud. It's good to know what the original, initial fallen state of our heart was. Because if I don't know and confess the condition of my heart, then I also don't think I need any treatment. You don't go to the dentist if your teeth are healthy. But if you notice, something's not quite right, then you go to the dentist. So, can you read this verse?
Jeremiah 17:9.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Mm-hmm. Who can know it? I don't know what's in your heart. And I don't want to guess what's in your heart. I've learned, I don't really want to know. I don't want to be able to see into your heart. I can't even understand and see into my own heart. How can I see into yours? But there is one who can know it. And he searches the heart. And only he can deal with your heart, can treat your heart. In the past, I often thought, I can help this way and that way. I can help this one in such a way. Today, I send everyone to this physician. I am not. People really like to get some therapy. In German, the word for therapy is to care for the soul, and I would rather care for my own soul. My soul has enough cares. I don't need to do the soul care for other people. But there is one. There is one who can, and I refer us all to this wonderful physician who has created our soul. He created us as a living soul through his breath. Our soul was created through his breath. The Lord breathed his breath into Adam's nostrils, and through this he became a living soul. So, without him, who can heal our soul? That's why a few verses later it says, heal me, and I shall be healed. Not wonderful. We have such a physician who treats us. Go to him often. He is the right, the proper, and the only carer for our soul. And praise God, He makes us healthy. It is really wonderful that we can go to Him anytime. And that's Psalm 139 says, "Search my heart." Yeah, know my heart. Not that I would ask the Lord to search your heart, but He has to search my heart. If each one of us comes to the Lord and says, "Lord, search me, to see if there's any wicked way in me. If there is a hidden stone in me or a hidden sin." The sin of presumptuous sin, or if there is pride in us, then we have to go to the Lord. Or if we have rebellion in us, how often do I say no to the Lord? How often do I grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells in me? Or how often do I suppress or quench the Spirit? As it says in 1 Thessalonians, do not quench the Holy Spirit. We have a rebellious spirit, and that is a hard heart, a hardened, rebellious. And so here we see what kind of a heart we have. But praise the Lord, in Ezekiel, the Lord promised, first in chapter 11 and then in chapter 36, "I will give you a new heart." But you have to say, "Amen, Lord. I come to you to receive a new heart." How often do you often say this to Him? And what does this new heart look like? It is soft. It is no longer as hard as it was before. The Lord desires to give us such a heart, a new heart, a healthy heart. And this stony heart, He wants to take out of our flesh. But I can tell you one thing. We have to be ready and willing and to say, "Amen, Lord, take away the stony heart. I want it to be removed from me. Take it away. I don't want to have it in me." You have to say this to the Lord and right away turn to Him. I think that was Paul's experience before he encountered the Lord. He had a really strong heart, a heart of diamond. It was so hard, like flint. And as soon as he saw the Lord encountered him. It was the only way to change this hard man. No one else could do it. And no one even dared to try. But one appearing of the Lord. Actually, he was blinded. It means that something has to happen in your life. Before the Lord can take away the stony heart from you. If you need a heart transplant and you go to the surgeon, is it such a quick procedure to do it? First, he would anesthetize you, put you in a deep sleep. Preparation isn't just that he just cuts you open and reaches in and grabs your heart and sticks a new one in, and then you have a new heart. according to my experience, it is not like this. Because I sometimes think, Lord, why do I still have this problem? Yeah, Lord. So the Lord has to do much work on us. Praise the Lord. It's very healthy to see this, to recognize it, to know it, and work together with Him, cooperate with Him. Continually turn to the Lord. Actually, the renewal is simultaneously a process of transformation, and we know that a transformation does not happen overnight. It requires our cooperation. A healthy heart is a heart that is gladly willing to cooperate with the Lord and that says, Amen, Lord. Sometimes it's difficult, but you have to pay the price. If I'm not prepared to suffer a little bit, it costs something. You always have to pay the price. If I'm not prepared to say, Amen, Lord, take it away from me. Then this transformation will not happen so quickly if I am not willing. So it requires cooperation. And tonight, we have to understand a little bit how our heart works. And now I know how important every part of this heart is, every chamber of our heart. Every inward part has to be searched. And the spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord. And it shines into different chambers of our heart. And our physical heart also has chambers. Something flows in and something flows out. And if it's not working properly, then you have a problem. So we need light. If we say we walk in the Spirit, then this Spirit, this light has to be operating in our heart. The exposing through the light, the dealing with our heart through light. That the good would flow in and the bad out. This is very important. And is this something we do just once a week? No, it's every minute, all the time. Praise the Lord. It has to be working this way. And now when we pray, renew my heart, Lord, heal my heart. Now you know, and we know what it looks like. Then we can begin to deal with the Lord to ask for the proper treatment. Lord, this hurts, or I have a problem here. I have a problem in my head, or in my mind. I have a problem with the love. I love you, but I don't love you as my first love. The Lord has to treat this problem in me. And love is not love. Not all love is created equal. So can you read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians? Because people often say, oh, we love everyone, we love one another, we love this, we love that, as though it were so easy. Okay, let's read all of 1 Corinthians 13. We still have 5 minutes. So it's always good to read something completely. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Oh, wait. Just stop. Oh, you don't have to talk about it anymore, read anymore. Love is love. You just need love. What? Does this chapter continue? Oh, really? Okay, continue. Love suffers long and is kind. Okay, continue. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. What? Love does not parade itself. And continue. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Really? This is love you're talking about? Okay, go on. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Oh, okay. Love does not let itself, is not provoked. How often are we provoked or embittered? Thinks no evil. Really? Okay, continue. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Oh, no, it's okay if there's iniquity. We have love. We have love. Even if you are unrighteous, I love you. I still love you. I'm tolerant. Is that not love? Really? Okay, continue. Yeah, but rejoices in the truth. So praise the Lord. Love has to be in the truth. If it is not in the truth, it's hard to love. It rejoices in the truth. So truth, it belongs with love. Verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Okay, thank you. So, in short, this true love is the love of our Lord, the love of God. God's love encompasses so many aspects. And our love is just so general. Oh, everything is fine. As long as it's love, it's love. So praise the Lord. We have to apprehend this even more. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is not so simple just to say, Lord, give me a pure heart. Praise the Lord. And maybe tomorrow evening we will speak of the positive characteristics of a healthy heart. This is also important. Yes, praise the Lord. May the Lord really help us to have such a good ground so that the seed of the kingdom can actually bear fruit and come to the full stature within a few years.